May the Lord help us to commence by singing hymn 535. Oh, the love of Christ to sinners, who can make its wonders known? Sin-born slaves, through grace, are winners of a bright celestial crown. Jesus gives us endless glory and renown. Hymn 535.
Thank you. Let us read together in the Epistle of Paul to the Philippians, chapter 3. The third chapter in Paul's Epistle to the Philippians. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me indeed, is not grievous, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the concision. For we are the circumcision, which worship God in the Spirit, and rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more, circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee. Concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same thing. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an ensample. For many walk of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that he may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. May the Lord bless the reading of that portion of his sacred word to our souls and teach us to pray. Most holy and eternal, ever merciful Lord God, do look in mercy in thy divine compassion upon a company once more favoured to gather in thy earthly courts. With that desire we humbly trust to worship thee in spirit and in truth. But we come seeking the gracious help and enabling of the dear Holy Spirit. Without thy Holy Spirit's aid, all that is attended to this evening will all be in vain. Oh, do come in thine infinite power this night, we pray, and work mightily in each of our hearts, and may the word enter and have an abiding effect. For truly, Lord, our need is great. Our sins, our poverty is great. And Lord, thou knowest what we are and what our sins deserve. But we come as poor, needy sinners, pleading for mercy. For Lord, it is that mercy that we come continually seeking for. For, Lord, we cannot continue here without it. For it is only as thou dost look upon us in mercy that we do continue. Oh, enable us now to look alone to a precious Christ, a dear Redeemer. Remove from our thoughts all the carnal cares of this dying world, those things that have been attended to this day. And as we desire now to attend to those things that concern our never dying souls and concern eternity, oh, may it be the exercise of each soul, if it could please thee, that they might have an attentive ear. But, Lord, that the word this night might go forth in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance, and that sinners might hear thy voice. Lord, thou knowest we are unworthy. We have nothing to bring to thee. For, Lord, we are sinners through and through. But, oh, we pray for precious living faith to be given now, that as we desire to approach thee, may we be enabled to look by faith to the glorious person of the dear Saviour. in all that he passed through, all that he endured, as he suffered and shed his blood and died in Gethsemane and at Calvary to redeem the souls of thy people and to prepare for them that everlasting habitation which awaits all thy people. Lord, we pray that we may see by faith in that great work our sins laid upon the dear Lord Jesus, and in that sacrifice that he made, it was a perfect atonement for our sins. And Lord, we pray that we might know the blessed truth and reality of it in our souls, Lord, to know that all our sins have been put away forever, that we have an interest in thy sin-atoning blood and righteousness, and that thereby, through Christ alone and what he's done, we are reconciled to thee, a holy, holy God. Lord, we pray that thou wilt remember us then in much mercy. Lift us up now above self and all that is of the creature. And, O Lord, may the word come just where we are, that it might enter into our hearts and have an abiding effect, that something might be done, that there might be fruit brought forth to thine honour and thy glory. Lord, these are great things we ask. We're unworthy of them, but we plead that thou wilt do it for thy great name's sake. For, Lord, that is the only foundation of a poor sinner's plea. Oh, Lord, may we know it in the blessed reality of it, and that we may be enabled to know that faith in exercise and to truly believe. Lord, we come then and seek to confess our many, many sins and transgressions. Lord, thou knowest how great they are, how many, how black, and how vile. Lord, thou knowest, and we humbly trust thou hast caused us to know something of it in our soul's experience. But, oh, do grant to us real repentance and true confession and godly sorrow for our sins, that we may be found among Zion's mourners, mourning over our sins and after thee. But, oh, may we be enabled to look to that ascended Saviour, though thou who art at the Father's right hand, interceding for the people, for thy people. For, Lord, as thou dost plead the merits of thy atoning blood for our acceptance, oh, may we know the reality of it in our own hearts, and be brought to believe that wonderful truth, that we have been made accepted in the Beloved. Lord, leave us not to be deceived. Leave us not to come short at last. Lord, may it be our great, our chief concern to know that we have a title to those heavenly mansions in the skies. Lord, we pray that we may be brought to know the truth and blessed reality of it, even this night, with a word from thyself, a touch, manifesting thy love and mercy to poor, needy sinners. Lord, we pray for each one that is gathered. We especially remember the dear young friends and those not here this night. We bear each one before thee, seeking that thou wilt be mindful of them in their youthful days. Lord, that if it could please thee, thou call them by thy grace in the days of their youth, whereby they're brought into an exercise and concern as to their standing before a holy God in the light of eternity, that they may be found seeking after thee, seeking to know that life which is eternal. Lord, we pray that thou bless them, preserve and keep them from the world. Leave them not to be ensnared and drawn aside by the sinful attractions of it. Lord, preserve each one in thy fear. And Lord, we pray that they may each be given a tender spirit and enabled to walk before thee in thy tender fear. Lord, we commit them unto thee, but oh, do bless them, if it could please thee. Raise them up to a hope in thy mercy. They may have the evidence in their own soul's experience that they are born of God and that their treasure is above. Be with others, Lord, older in years, some having to do with the burden and heat of the day and the things concerning this world regarding their lawful callings. Preserve them, Lord. Be round about each one continually. Oh, do grant them grace to stand in this evil day. And Lord, may they know continually thy upholding grace, maintaining them amidst all the temptations, all the wickedness, all the evil that is around them. Lord, preserve and keep them each and sanctify their paths to them. Others, Lord, and one especially in great age and bodily infirmity, we pray for her and seek that thou wilt be mindful of her in these her last days. Oh, might it please thee to look upon her in thy divine compassion and remember her in mercy, if it is thy holy will. We pray for all thy people, wherever they are, and thou knowest where they are. Some, Lord, walking in paths of troubles, distresses, afflictions, trials, temptations, persecutions, some in bereavement. Lord, we pray that, oh, that thou wilt grant to each one thy upholding grace. But, oh, may these things be sanctified to each one and each one of us for our spiritual profit and thy honour and thy glory. Lord, we pray for this church and congregation. Lord, this is a much favoured church and people. Oh, Lord, we pray that thy power, thy presence, and thy work might be evident in this place, that yet there may be an ingathering of precious souls brought to testify of thy love and mercy to them, and brought to tell to sinners round what a dear Saviour they have found. Lord, might there yet still be a lengthening of the cords and a strengthening of the stakes in this place. Lord, that this church may be a truly prosperous church. They may ever dwell together in the unity of the Spirit and in the bond of peace. We pray for that those who carry the responsibility here, remember them in much mercy, sustain them and uphold them in that office that thou hast appointed for them. Lord, do grant them all needed wisdom and grace and strength to seek and do thy will, seeking that direction alone from thee. Lord, we pray that thou hear their cries concerning this church and people, but Lord, those desires concerning their own cases, Lord, we pray that thou will hear them. We pray now for Zion, thy one church. Lord, do look upon Zion, the city of our solemnities. For thou hast we are exhorted to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. They shall prosper that love thee. And Lord, as we view the low state in Zion today, in our own group of churches, and what can we say? Lord, thou knowest the cause, and thou hast made thy dear people to know and feel it from time to time. For Lord, thou art hiding thy face on account of our many sins and transgressions, our solemn departures from thee, the carnality and worldliness. Lord, that thou knowest how often we are surrounded with, and all the solemn effect it has upon our hearts. Lord, remember us then, yet in mercy. Lord, that thou wilt yet send prosperity in Zion. Cause thy face to shine, and we shall be saved. For truly, Lord, thou knowest them that are thine. For the foundation of God standeth sure, having that seal. But oh, may that concern be found in each one of our hearts, to know that we are found amongst those favoured characters whom thou hast a favour toward, and whom thou dost manifest thy love and mercy to. Lord, we pray that it may be the exercise in each one of our hearts, that we might have a clear view of our interest in the Lord Jesus, and what he is and what he has done. And those seeking souls, Lord, thou knowest, troubled, burdened, weighed down, conscious of the guilt of sin, conscious of their great need of a Saviour, and yet, Lord, often troubled and burdened, tried and tempted by that enemy to their souls. Lord, we pray that thou wilt sustain and maintain them, and oh, might there be those crumbs that fall from the Master's table, even this night, if it could please thee, for their encouragement, that they might be strengthened and enabled to continue, that faith might be increased, that there might be that increasing earnestness at the throne of grace, seeking those spiritual blessings which are found in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And if there are any here who as yet know thee not, still dead in trespasses and in sins, oh, might it please thee to bring home to them the solemn reality of their case. And Lord, we pray that thou wilt, may they know the quickening power of thy Holy Spirit within their hearts, bringing them into a soul exercise and concern as to how they stand in the light of eternity. Lord, we have constant reminders that time is short. We witness the events taking place in recent days. And Lord, thou hast said it will be a time in those last days when there will be those earthquakes. Lord, men's hearts failing them for fear. Oh, may we hear thy voice in these events, speaking unto us, that our souls may be exercised, and to hear that exhortation, be also ready, for the Son of Man cometh at an hour when ye think not. We pray for our sinful nation. Lord, thou knowest the depth of depravity and evil to which we've sunk. And Lord, we are ripe for thy judgments. Oh Lord, may these things be a speaking voice to us. May we hear thy voice in these judgments. For Lord, they must come upon such a wicked nation as this, for thy word declares it. O Lord, we pray that it might be our great, our chief concern to know that our souls are eternally safe in the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that we are found sheltering under his blood, clothed in his righteousness, and washed in that precious fountain opened for sin and all uncleanness. Lord, these are great things we ask, but oh, may these solemn truths enter into our hearts, and may it be for our spiritual profit, and to thy honour and thy glory. We pray for thy true sent servants. Thou knowest those that are labouring this night, and those that labour amongst this people, Sabbath by Sabbath and weekday by weekday. Lord, we pray that thou wilt uphold each one, for thou knowest the weakness, the poverty, the insufficiency that we feel for this great work. But Lord, we pray that we may once more, even this night, prove the sufficiency of thy grace, the fulfilment of those precious promises that thou hast given to thy dear servants. For thou hast said, as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Lord, we would thank thee now for all thy mercies and favours and blessings bestowed upon us, how many they are. And Lord, we're unworthy, but oh, we would pray to be given a spirit of gratitude and thankfulness, and there may be found upon our lips that spirit of praise. For truly we have to say continually, thou dost not deal with us according to our sins, or reward us according to our iniquities. Lord, it's mercies every day and every moment of the day. Be with us now as we turn to thy word. Lord, deliver us now from all carnal, distracting, worldly thoughts and cares. And for a few moments, Lord, may our heart's affections be set upon things above. And do come now and feed our souls with that living bread, thyself, that we may be brought to bless and praise thee for all that thou art and all that thou hast done. We ask these petitions, seeking the pardon of every sin, as we ask for Jesus' sake. Amen.
Hymn number 310. Lord, when thy Spirit descends to show the badness of our hearts, astonished at the amazing view, the soul with horror starts. Hymn 310.
Thank you.
the word that rests upon my spirit to bring before you this evening as the Lord will enable me, you'll find in the prophecy of Hosea. Hosea chapter 6 and the third verse. Hosea chapter 6 verse 3. Then shall we know, if we follow on to know the Lord, his going forth is prepared as the morning, and he shall come unto us as the rain, as the latter and former rain unto the earth. Then shall we know, if we follow on to know the Lord, his going forth is prepared as the morning, and he shall come unto us as the rain, as the latter and former rain unto the earth. The prophet Hosea was sent to prophesy and to warn both the kingdom of Israel, that where they were, the 10 tribes, and the kingdom of Judah, the remaining 2 tribes, and gives to them most solemn warnings concerning their condition. The warning is this: hear the word of the Lord, ye children of Israel, for the Lord hath a controversy with the inhabitants of the land, because there is no truth, nor mercy, nor knowledge of God in the land. And so it continues. And as he warns those 2 tribes in Judah of their sins, then we find this solemn word in the preceding chapter, which is the last verse, God speaking, I will go and return to my place till they acknowledge their offence and seek my face. In their affliction they will seek me early. Solemn word. And yet we find this gracious word in the opening verses of the following chapter in which our text is found. Come, and let us return unto the Lord, for he hath torn and he will heal us, he hath smitten and he will bind us up. After 2 days will he revive us, in the 3rd day he will raise us up, and we shall live in his sight. Then shall we know, if we follow on to know the Lord. First of all, we would make clear, there is one word there which is in italics, and that's this little word, if. And when these words are in italics, it's those words have been added to it in the translation. But the sense of this word is this: then shall we know, we follow on to know the Lord, his going forth is prepared as the morning. It's not a conditional if. After 2 days will he revive us. Then shall we know, we follow on to know the Lord. And so there is this exercise of following on to know the Lord. And now if the child of God, when quickened into divine life, they're brought to know their need, made conscious of their sins and transgressions, and they look back over their lives with shame and confusion, as they see God is infinitely holy and infinitely just, and cannot condone sin with any degree of allowance whatsoever, but when the Lord's mercy they're shown, there is hope for such sinful characters, and that hope alone is found in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it is to him they come, pleading with God that he'd remember them in mercy, the one that came into this world, God's beloved Son, to live a perfect life, render complete obedience to God's commands for his people, and to go to Gethsemane and to Calvary, and there sins laid upon the Lord Jesus Christ, and God poured out his wrath upon his beloved Son. That punishment due to his people was borne by the Lord Jesus Christ. The intensity and depth of those sufferings we cannot enter into. But if we're a child of God, our mercy is this, that suffering was endured by the dear Lord Jesus as the substitute of his people, that they might never know that punishment in eternity, forever and ever. For there in his sacrifice, a perfect atonement was made for the sins of the whole election of grace. Precious truths, my dear friend. But you see, that child of God is brought to desire to know it personally, to have it revealed to them. They cannot be satisfied with an intellectual knowledge of these truths. Many do in the day in which we live. Many acknowledge the truth of the gospel. They own the truth. The word of God is a word of truth. But it's all in the intellect. It's not known, and have they know nothing of it, the truth of it revealed to them by the work of the Holy Spirit. Many, many today, I fear, rest in a form of religion, resting in an intellectual knowledge of the truth and a carnal assent to it, and believe that is all that they need, that thereby they should enter into glory at last. My dear friend, it's that arch deceit, I believe, of the enemy to our souls. That's where he would have us rest if he could. But our mercy, my dear friend, is this. If the Lord is dealing with us, he'll not let us rest there. He'll bring us to a soul exercise and concern to have the burden of guilt of those sins upon our consciences, and to seek that the Lord would have mercy upon us. Well, my dear friend, it's the path of the Lord's living family, and it everyone from the Adam to this day, those whom the Lord has a favour towards have known that very same path to come as a poor, feeble, needy, destitute sinner to the footstool of mercy, acknowledging their guilt, acknowledging that they've sinned against a holy God, his righteous laws, despite being the subjects of many mercies and favours in providence, but to come and acknowledge that we deserve eternal banishment forever, but to come and plead for mercy for Jesus' sake, for what he is and what he has done. And dear friend, that's where you and I will be brought. We must be brought, because it is this where we are brought to see that there's nothing in self nothing in the creature. It's all in a precious Christ. All that we stand in need of for time and eternity is in him. And to come to pleading with God that he would remember us in mercy, venturing to plead the name, the blood and righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ for our acceptance. My dear friend, there's no other way. It's that the Lord Jesus Christ said, I am the door. He's the door of the sheepfold. And those that enter in must enter in through him. And as God gives that one faith to believe, they venture to plead the name of Jesus and plead for mercy for what he is and what he has done. Well, dear friends, some of you will be very familiar with these things, but do we know the reality of them in our soul's experience? That's the difference. Because you see, we have to come empty and a poor penitent sinner, just like Top Lady declared in hymn 143, nothing in my hand I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. And it's these characters, my dear friend, who desire to follow on, to know the Lord, to follow on, to know the Lord. What does that mean, my dear friend? They see in the Lord Jesus Christ, as it is revealed to them by the Holy Spirit, all that they stand in need of. They see in him pardon. They see in him peace. They see in him all-sufficient grace. They see in him mercy. They see in him their wisdom, their strength, their righteousness. It's all in the dear Lord Jesus, who is made unto his people wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. And so that child of God sees their great need of Christ and of our need of those spiritual blessings, those mercies that are found alone in him. Then shall we know if we follow on to know the Lord. You see, there's a following of the Lord Jesus Christ, a desire. If the Lord has visited your poor soul and raised you up to a hope in God's mercy and shown to you and given to you a glimpse of something of what he is and what he has done for poor needy sinners, my dear friend, you'll want to follow him then. Nothing will hold you back then. You see in him your life, your strength, all-sufficient grace, all that you stand in need of for time and for eternity. A following on to know the Lord. And that child of God will be brought to this. They'll want to know more of a precious Christ, a dear Redeemer. You see, we know but very little of him. But that which we do know must and will be revealed to us by the work of the dear Holy Spirit. If he is our Saviour, my dear friend, it's alone the Holy Spirit that puts faith in exercise in our heart, thereby we are able to truly believe. But it is this, to have a glimpse of the dear Lord Jesus in all that he has passed through for this poor sinner. and to praise him and bless him for it, as the dear Holy Spirit comes into your poor heart and seals the truth of it. There, then, shall we know, we follow on to know the Lord. Now in this following on is a path that the Lord appoints for his dear people. The Lord appoints every path that the Lord, whatever those paths are, one are different to another. But my dear friend, the Lord's purpose in appointing a path for us, whether it's a path of affliction, temptations, trials, troubles in the family, troubles in our providential pathway, if we're a child of God, the Lord has appointed it. Do we believe that? I fear sometimes we do not act as if we believe it. How sometimes we struggle with our own path, those things taking place around us, and in our foolishness we try and resolve the difficulties. My dear friend, if the Lord has placed you in that path, it is for a purpose. And it is that thereby you may learn, and I may learn more of what we are, what is in our own hearts, the depravity and evil which is found there, our own insufficiency. We shall learn much of ourselves, our weakness and spiritual poverty. But it's in those paths we learn of Christ, of his mercy, his long-suffering compassion, his faithfulness to us. He doesn't leave his dear people, appoint the path and leave his dear people to walk in it alone. No, my dear friend, he is with his people. He observes every aspect of that which is taking place in our hearts and in our lives and those circumstances around us. And it is that thereby it will be for our spiritual profit and his honour and his glory. Then shall we know, if we follow on to know the Lord, his goings forth are prepared as the morning. His going forth is prepared as the morning. What is that? What does that mean? His goings forth, my dear friend, it's this. Those times when he draws near to a poor soul, gives to them a token of his love and mercy to them, shows them to a little of what he is and what he has done. Those spiritual blessings that are found in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And it's those blessings that the Lord bestows upon his people. Some of those greatest blessings that they know. Where were you, my dear friend, when the Lord spoke to your poor heart and blessed you and raised you up to a hope in God's mercy? Wasn't it when you were in the deepest trouble, the greatest distress? You knew not what to do. You'd come to the end of everything in your soul's experience. And you had to come and cry unto the Lord, pleading with him that he'd hear your poor petition, unworthy though you were and far and feel to be, that he would remember you in that path you're walking in. And did he not appear for you in your trouble and distress? You know, the Lord sometimes appoints these dark paths. They may be in the family, they may be in a spiritual sense. Sometimes the Lord's people are called to walk in a path of darkness, feeling to be dark within, feeling to be at a distance from God, feeling to be prayerless, feeling not unable to feel anything of the blessedness and reality of the gospel that perhaps in days gone by you had hoped you knew. But it's all being brought to the test now. Oh, what an exercise it is to you. The devil tells you there's no hope. You're deceived. You've taken these things to yourself. And oh, what a trial it is to that poor troubled soul, feeling so dark, so barren, so prayerless, often feeling so unaffected by the word. They feel to be in that place where Job came to, not perhaps in the depth of these providential circumstances, but you know, Job came to this. He mourned an absent God, didn't he? Oh, he was looking for him. He said, oh, that I knew where I might find him. Is that your desire tonight, my dear friend? Oh, that you might find him. Oh, that I knew where I might find him. I would come even to his seat. I pour out my heart before him and fill my mouth with arguments. And what are those arguments? The precious promises contained in God's word. Those things that the Lord has promised to do for his people. You'll come and plead the fulfillment of them in your soul's experience. Lord, have mercy upon us, upon me. But you know, Job was brought out of that path. And he was brought to rejoice in his God because he blessed him in those latter days. And his possessions were far more than ever he had before. And he was blessed with his children, which had been further children, which had been taken from him at the earlier part of that book. And yet, my dear friend, Job possessed true living faith. And throughout that book, how often we find there those glimpses of that faith in exercise. Though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. I know whom I have believed. I know that my Redeemer liveth. Again he said, he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. You see, dear Job had to go into that sieve, God's sieve. And how shaken he was in that sieve. And sometimes the Lord's people have to go into those sieves, God's sieves. He has many sieves, bereavements, temptations, trials and troubles. They're all appointed, my dear friend. It is to establish us in the truth. But it is that thereby our faith might be exercised. But it is, my dear friend, for our spiritual profit. And his honour and his glory. That purpose for which mankind was created, it was to render praise and honour and glory unto him. But through Adam, for when Adam fell, it rendered man incapable of fulfilling that which God had appointed him for. But his dear people will and must ere they leave this world. These goings forth are prepared as the morning. Well, those goings forth, not only these precious promises, the blessings the Lord gives to his dear people, they're all tokens of his love and mercy to them. And you know, when the Lord brings us out of these paths, we'll find, as the psalmist did, how often the psalmist, as he, in the opening verses of those psalms, he was pouring out his heart in such trouble and distress. But as he came to the close of the psalm, we find him often praising and blessing God for what he is, what he had done for him. His goings forth are prepared as the morning. Now there are those spiritual blessings, the precious promises that he gives to his dear people in times of distress, wherein they're brought to plead the fulfillment of them. But it's also those times when we gather in the Lord's house and we hear the gospel preached, and you know, sometimes our poor hearts are softened. A sense that the Lord is drawing near and making himself known to us. Softened. Broken. The word comes just where we are. Oh, what a sweet encouragement it is to us. Believing that the Lord has remembered us. And that he will appear and grant that desire which you have, which you continually look for and plead for at the throne of grace. You know what a blessing and what a privilege that is to have a softened heart, willing to hear what the Lord will speak. A heart prepared to receive the word, with that desire to hear what he will say and also to bless him for it in his time and in his way. Those touches that the Lord's people have from time to time, perhaps in their daily work, in their callings, the mother in the home, the Lord draws near and speaks a word into your poor heart unexpectedly. There was no exercise in your heart. You couldn't own it that it was so. But the Lord, in his tender compassion and his faithfulness, knew where you were. And he came and spoke a word. And how comforting it was. You felt the sweetness of it. You knew the little power of it in your soul's experience, and your poor heart went up to the Lord in gratitude and thankfulness to him for regarding such a poor, needy sinner. The Lord has appointed the house of God, whereby he will feed his people, their souls may be edified, and by the Holy Spirit they're led into the precious truths of the gospel. But the Lord is not exclusively so. How many a child of God has the Lord has visited on a bed of affliction, perhaps in hospital, when the Lord has drawn near, when perhaps you felt so hard, so unaffected, and yet you knew the solemnity of the condition and the case in which you were found, but you couldn't bring forth a gracious desire out of your heart. You had to learn then, and we have to learn then, that it's only the Holy Spirit that indicts real prayer. But when he comes, how sweet it was. Another token. It's one of those goings forth of the Lord Jesus Christ, which are prepared as the morning. Oh, do you long for them, my dear friend? Do you value them? Do you look back and wonder God's mercy and love to you? You know, their evidence is that the Lord is a favour toward you. Their evidence is that he has loved you with an everlasting love, and it is with loving kindness he's drawing you to himself. Precious evidences. My dear friend, we cannot, at the foundation of our faith and the ground of our hope is not built upon those evidences. They're precious tokens of the Lord's love and mercy to us. Faith rests upon Christ and what he is and what he has done, through whom those blessings come to his dear people in love to their souls. Do we know them? Those goings forth prepared as the morning. They're so refreshing, aren't they? An hour of the morning sometimes is such a refreshing time after the darkness of the night. Then shall we know, we follow on to know the Lord. You see, then we shall know it by the very evidence of it, wrought in your heart and mine by the Holy Spirit's work. Taking of the things of Jesus and revealing them to a poor, needy sinner. Now we come to this word, and he shall come unto us as the rain, as the latter and former rain unto the earth. That alludes to those rainy seasons which are known in that part of the world, in Israel, as we know it today. There is a fall of rain in the latter part of the year, and that rain is that which is helps the grain germinate, and it is that thereby that blade springs forth. And there is a latter rain, and that is when, just before the harvest, there's a rain then, and that swells the grain before the sickle goes in for the harvest. Now, my dear friend, that speaks to us of the experiences of the Lord's living family. We're at the very early, the beginning of a work of grace, when the Lord is leading and teaching that child of God, and when he brings them to feel and confess their sins, and the Lord comes and gives to them a token of his love and mercy to them, speaks that sweet word into their heart, I have loved thee with an everlasting love, and with loving kindness have I drawn thee. Sweet time, oh, how your poor soul rejoiced in your Lord and Saviour. How you blessed him then. Oh, then you knew you had a token that he and had a, and possessed that living faith, that work that the Lord Jesus Christ had accomplished at Calvary. He had done it for you, and that all your sins were put away forever there. That time when you felt there was nothing between your soul and God. That obstacle, that barrier of sin removed. And for a little time, a few moments, what peace you felt as you rejoiced in your Lord and Saviour. Oh, my dear friend, you blessed him then. Oh, then you thought you'd go on like that through the remainder of the journey, praising and blessing him for what he had done. But there was, the Lord had a work yet to be accomplished in your poor heart and mine. There were those paths when we should have to be brought to the test, the trial of our faith, all needful, all appointed by God. First then, there is that evidence at the very beginning of the way, that soul is raised up to a hope in God's mercy. Now, there is another rain, and that rain oftentimes is known before the Lord takes his people home to himself. He has prepared them for that great change which awaits them throughout their lives, in that latter part especially, his dealings with them. He's loosened their hold on the world and the things of it. As we get older, we increasingly see the vanity of everything here below. That's the work of the dear Holy Spirit, preparing that one for eternity, that one to enter into that glorious inheritance of the saints in light, which they're being made meet for by the work of the Holy Spirit in their heart. Now, that latter rain, when the Lord visits his dear people, ere they're taken home to glory, a blessed time, a time perhaps of a reaffirmation of what the Lord has shown to you and revealed to you in days gone by. But there is that preparation, that one is now found ready and waiting. Their soul has been refreshed by that gospel rain as it comes sweetly into their heart. They bless the Lord and wait patiently for him. The path of the Lord's living family. You know, each child of God is gathered home as a shock of corn fully ripe, prepared for that eternal habitation, knowing those precious truths which will be the subject of that eternal song. Unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Then shall we know if we follow on in then shall we know we follow on to know the Lord. His going forth is prepared as the morning, and he shall come unto us as the rain, as the latter and former rain unto the earth. Well, may it be your portion, my dear friend. And may it be mine. Amen.
God willing, there'll be reading services next Lord's Day, and Mr. Adrian Pickett will preach at our anniversary services on Monday. Let us close with hymn 941. Jesus, my Lord, my life, my all, prostrate before thy throne I fall. Fain would my soul look up and see my hope, my heaven, my all in thee. Hymn 941.
Thine own word, and do pardon all that has been amiss in our worship this evening, but that which has been of thee, do cause to abide in our heart, and seal it there by the Holy Spirit. Watch over us now as we part, grant journeying mercies, and be with us each through the remainder of our little lives here below, and prepare us for eternity. And now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, the fellowship and communion of God the Holy Spirit, rest and abide with you all. Amen.